So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the plans of God. And God then can get them into the earth. He can praise manifest God. Them in the earth because a man asked him.
As you pray in the Holy Spirit, God will reveal His good plans for you. Today on the Believer's Voice of Victory, Gloria Copeland and Billy Brim encourage you to diligently seek God's wisdom. Now here's Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Billy Brim is back with me. She's sharing some great things from the Word of God. If you missed any of them, you need to go to the internet and get the rest of it because you need it all. And it's important right now that we understand and know what's going on.
What's going to happen.
In the spirit realm. Mm-hmm. Yes, amen.
What's just happening now and progressing further. And you remember when we talked about the glory of God and how God gave me a revelation of it. And part of it was a vision. And I saw the fall of man. And I saw that Satan, when he had man down here, and man was crouched behind him, Adam, of course, and he had tempted Adam to sin, and here's God in the glory realm. I didn't see his face or anything like that, but brightness. And I saw a Satan say to God, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" And God was separated from his man, and God told me that he could not. He said, "I want you to look at the fall from my point of view." He said, "I could not." It's the natural tendency of a man, if he has a son that falls, to clasp him to his bosom. Mm-hmm. But had I done that to Adam, I would have destroyed him and mankind with him. Yeah. Mm. I would have consumed him, burned him up, because he's sin. He's become sin. He's become death. And he showed me my son, Terry, and he said, "What would you do if you couldn't hug him? You'd destroy him." He said, "That was my position in the fall." Mm. And so man then was separated from God. But I saw Satan down here crouching. And he was saying, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" Because God had said, "Let us make man in our image and let them have dominion over the works of our hands." And Satan thinks he has separated God. He knows that the sin can't come into the glory. He knows that. And so he thinks he's pulled off
the big one.
The big one. Man has stepped. So you see, he always attacks God's word. That's what he did with Eve. "Hath God said?" So has God said this man is going to have dominion over the works of his hands, and I have made him sin? And so I heard, and in a form of a question, but as a whiny one, "What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now?" And I saw that God did not answer him. I was made to know God did not answer him. And I saw in God like a door. And on that door was top secret. Mm. God had an answer, but it's hidden.
Yes.
And the New Testament tells us it's hidden in God.
Amen.
What a hiding place. Mm-hmm. You think Satan's going to ever figure it out? No. Because it's hidden in God. It's one of God's mysteries. And so that's what we're going to look at today. The mysteries of God. 1 Corinthians 14:2-14 and 15 is talking about praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. On down in the chapter it says, if you pray in an unknown tongue. Mm-hmm. So it's talking about praying in tongues here. 1 Corinthians 14:2. "He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." You can pray in tongues. If you go on down to the 14th verse, it says, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful." When you're praying in tongues, Gloria, and I know you do that often, your head doesn't always know what's talking about. Never does unless you get an interpretation. What is it then? 15th verse, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. So if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak with other tongues, anytime you will, you can start praying in tongues.
That's right.
And every day you do it. You should do it. And when you're doing it, without your head knowing what's happening, the Bible says here, he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him, not even you. Howbeit in the Spirit, he's speaking mysteries. In the Spirit, you're praying about God's plans. God, he wants you to have everything that you need. He wants to get his plans in the earth. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But between heaven and earth, there's a place called where the prince of the powers of the air operate, where Satan, the god of this world, operates. So God has to get things from here to here. And he's got to have a man ask him. It has to do with authority. If you're on the earth, you have authority on the earth. But then in Jesus, you're also seated at the right hand of the Father. So when you pray the mysteries of God, it was a John Wesley who said, it seems that God can do nothing for a man unless a man asks him. And the reason is the authority that we have here. Satan, he's an illegal alien in the earth. He should never have been here. Adam let him in. But you and I, we're legal.
That's right.
We came by the water, a water birth. And we came by the Spirit. We had a spirit birth. And when we pray in an unknown tongue, we are praying the will of God, and then God legally can send that will into the earth. We're playing, God's plans are called mysteries. The Companion Bible, which Zondervan publishes, has notes of Bullinger in it. And appendix number 193 says, the English word mystery is a transliteration of the Greek word mysterion, which means a sacred secret. When one prays in the Spirit by the Holy Spirit, one prays the plans and purposes of God past human understanding. So when you're praying in tongues, you're praying the plans of God. And God then can get them into the earth. He can
Praise
manifest
God.
Them in the earth because a man asks him. Now, the Bible speaks about several of these mysteries, these divine secrets. They are secrets which are concealed, but they will be revealed.
Amen.
Will be revealed in the earth as God is able to clothe them with flesh, you might say.
Yeah.
And so there are things in this Bible, that, especially in the New Testament, calls mysteries. One of them is the mystery of Israel. That's found in Romans 11, 25 through 27. I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. All Israel shall be saved. So that's the mystery of Israel. They're identified as mysteries. He calls them that. So you can be, as you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying in tongues. You might be praying about the mystery of Israel. You might be praying about the President of the United States, and you might be praying that this country will stay blessing Israel, because nations are judged on how they treat Israel. So you might be praying about Israel itself, and you don't know, but it tells you you're praying about mysteries, so you might be praying about that. Another mystery is the mystery of iniquity. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 calls him that man of sin, the son of perdition, verse 4, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is the Antichrist. And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. Verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who lets or hinders him will hinder until he be taken out of the way, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. So this is talking about the Antichrist, and that's called the mystery of iniquity. That's a whole nother subject.
Yeah.
But it is the commission of the church, according to this Thessalonians, until we leave in the rapture, we can and must hold back the Antichrist. The main way this is possible, I believe, is praying about the mystery of iniquity. in a spirit-led prayer, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 14-2. Yes, you are to pray the plans of God into the earth, and we are to stop the strategies of the enemy. And one way that you do that is praying God's plans, praying God's secrets, praying God's mysteries.
Right.
You can go into the Bible. There are other mysteries. You can go into a concordance, and you can find other mysteries. But we're going to talk about the mystery of the church. The church, going to be on page 4, Gloria. The church, and I like the word ecclesia, because it means a called out assembly, is not a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy. It was a hidden mystery. It's not revealed in the Old Testament. Mm. It's not even revealed in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You might think it is because you know about the church, but it's not revealed there. If you just live in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would not even know why Jesus came. You would know nothing about the body of Christ because it wasn't revealed until it was revealed to Paul. And when Paul came along, the mystery of the church is going to be revealed. Now, it took Paul some time. If you read in Galatians, Galatians 1:15 to Galatians 2:2, and I think I'll just take a minute to do it. I didn't plan to do it, but 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians. Okay. Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells you about his getting the revelation of the church and getting the revelation, which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John did not have. Peter didn't have it either until Paul came with the revelation. And so we'll start with Galatians 1:15, Gloria.
Okay.
And you, dear friends, there with your cups of coffee. Verse 15. People tell me, Gloria, all the time that they sit down with a cup of coffee and study with us.
Good.
Yeah, praise the Lord, or
we're
tea,
honored.
Whatever. Yes, we're honored you're here. Verse 15. Paul writes, "When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me," he's going to get a revelation, "that I might preach him among the nations. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." God said, "I'm going to reveal something to you, and you're not going to get it from James.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get it from Peter. You're not going to get it from John. You're going to get it from me." So he didn't go up to Jerusalem to ask them this revelation. Verse 17. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia." He goes all down into Arabia, what we call Saudi Arabia today. "And returned not, and returned again unto Damascus." He was in Damascus at the first, and then he goes down to Saudi Arabia, and then he comes back to Damascus, and then he says, "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter." And he doesn't say how long he was in Arabia, some time. And after 3 years, I went up and Damascus. After 3 years, at least 3 years that he's there in Arabia, then I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. And so he's there just 15 days with Peter. He's been at least 3 years getting this revelation in Arabia. Verse 21, "Afterwards, I went into Syria and Cilicia." We don't know exactly how long he was there. But if you skip on down to chapter 2, it says, "Then 14 years later, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, and I went by revelation." So we've got record that he was at least 17 years getting this revelation in Arabia, in Syria. And we don't know, there's some little parts here which indicate he could have been, it's 17 plus years. So he goes up then after 17 years and he gives them his revelation. And Peter said, "Boy, it's hard to imagine some of the things, believe some of the things Paul said, but we know they're right." And this is called Paul's revelation. And Paul's revelation is of the mystery of the church. And that's why you're going to have to, if you want to understand the church and the body of Christ, you're going to have to get it from the revelation of Paul and then the revelation that came to the others. You're going to have to get it from the New Testament letters. So 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8, and I did put this down, Gloria. Okay. Paul said, hallelujah. I think I'm going to have to take you to 1 Corinthians 2, 7 and 8. Let's go there. Let's go in the real Bible, Gloria, not just the one that I copied off for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. Is that right?
Chapter 2.
I don't think I'll start on verse 1. Knock over a few sacred cows. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, he's talking to Corinthians. They are idol worshipers before Paul got there. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in godly awe and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of wisdom, man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he came to these idol worshipers and he said, I didn't come in here with a lot of deep theology. I just came under here and I just manifested miracles and signs and wonders and demonstrated the power of God. Now, some people would have you think that that's the highest you can get right there. And that's just it. Don't preach anything but Jesus and him crucified and don't ever go anything past that. But folks, that's not what Paul said here. He went on and said, verse 6, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. What does that word perfect mean?
Mature.
You weren't even born again when I came here. You worship idols. So I demonstrated God to you in miracles, signs, and wonders. But there's something higher. And when I'm among the more mature, I talk about it. So what is it, Paul? What is it that you speak among the more mature? The church is 2,000 years old. You should be able to take some of the rest. So verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are mature, it's not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. It's not devilish wisdom. But we speak the wisdom of God in a what? A mystery. A divine secret. Something concealed that will be revealed. The hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Hallelujah.
Hidden wisdom.
Hidden wisdom. Remember, glory. I saw that sign in God, top secret. And God, before the foundation of the world, before he ever made Adam, before Satan tempted Adam, before Adam fell, God had a plan. And he hid that plan in himself so that when Satan said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? God didn't have to do something now. He already did it.
Yeah.
The hidden wisdom, which God ordained, what? What purpose? Before the world, look at verse 7, look at the end of it. What's the purpose of this mystery? Unto our glory. Now listen to this in the Amplified. That wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages for our glorification, to lift us up into the glory of his presence. When I'm among the mature, I can talk to them about how man fell from the glory, but how God had a plan and a wisdom hidden in himself to lift man right back up into the presence of his glory.
Praise God.
That's the mystery of the church. We're going to be lifted back up into the presence of his glory.
Hallelujah.
You and I, we're going to stand before him.
What a day, Billy.
That's the plan that he talks about among the mature, and that's what we're talking about this week. You're mature. Some of you have been watching this program for a long, long time. You've been following Kenneth and Gloria for a long, long time. And there's a plan, and you need to know about it.
Glory to God.
To lift you back up into the presence of His glory. What a plan! Oh, what a planner! Oh, what a plan! And then it goes on to say, none of the princes of this world knew that plan. For had they known it,
if they'd have only known,
they would not have crucified who?
The Lord of what?
Glory. The Lord of glory.
Yes, amen.
Here he is.
Amen.
He's come. This is the secret. This is the plan that was hidden in God. And when I'm among the mature, I get to talk about it.
Hallelujah.
This is that top secret. This is that
top
mystery. And God had a plan. He sent the Lord of glory. And they lifted him up on that cross. And he died for you and me. And shed his blood to lift us back up into the presence of his glory so that we can work with God throughout all eternity. For past Adam, we're going to wear glory. We're going to be glory. Our bodies are going to be glorified.
He was raised up to raise us up.
He was raised up to raise us. Remember right. Resurrection?
Yes.
The glory.
Praise God.
Manifest in the resurrection. And so as we move on, we're going to study about that next week.
That'll
be sure
great.
To be with us.
Exciting.
We're going to move from glory to glory to glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. You don't want to miss any of this next week. And if you miss some of these, look, go back and look on the internet or wherever they, where do you see them? Internet? You don't want to, you got to know this. You got to know this. Time is getting shorter every moment. And we want to be in the right place at the right time.
Getting gloriouser and gloriouser.
Hallelujah.
To win a glorious
victory.
Church without
more victory and more victory. We'll be right back.
A mission of Kenneth Copeland Ministries for the last 50 years has been to proclaim that Jesus is Lord on a worldwide scale. In addition to campaigns, conventions, the local church, radio, television, books, recordings, and personal correspondences, we have partnered with other ministries around the world to send that message as far and as wide as possible. KCM sows at least 10% of all gross income from donations and sales into other ministries around the globe. That means your seed is twice sown. You have helped spread the gospel to nations in every continent, helped feed the hungry and fly medical supplies to disaster areas. You've sent hope and counsel to those in prison and provided places for young people to be freed from addictions. Through the shared mission of this network of ministries, KCM has had a part in well over 116 million salvations since 1984. We know that two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. Together, we'll continue to spread the gospel of Christ from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. October 13th through 14th, join the Copelands at the Venezuela Victory Campaign at the Palacio de Eventos de Maracaibo in Maracaibo, Venezuela. November 9th through 11th, the Copelands invite you to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. And in 2018, April 5th through 7th, the Copelands welcome you to the Branson Victory Campaign at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. For more information, go to kcm.org/events.
Today is offering day. We're going to give you another opportunity to increase your income. Why? Because when you give, you receive. It's given back to you. For 2 Corinthians 9:6 in the Amplified says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. So it's been our experience that we determine our harvest by how we sow and what we sow, how we obey God. And he who sows generously, that's where you and I want to be and Billy wants to be, the blessings, that blessings come to someone will also reap generously and with blessings. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purposed in his heart. When it comes to offering time, we listen to see what God wants us to do. We listen to our spirit. And if we'll always obey what we get in our spirit, we'll never lack. Hallelujah. We'll have abundance.
Amen.
He takes pleasure. God loves. He takes pleasure in prizes above all other things. He's unwilling to do without a cheerful, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. I live with a fellow like that.
You sure do.
And he's blessed. And when he's blessed, I'm blessed. Hallelujah. God's able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance so that you may always, say always,
always,
always and under all circumstances, whatever the need, be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance. You ought not have enough just for you, but furnished in abundance, it says, for every good work and charitable donation. Billy and I are going to pray for your finances. Father, we lift up every person.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, every person listening, you know their finances. And we pray mighty blessings and increase upon their lives. We know there's no limit to our increase. We can increase as much as we will sow and receive and believe. And so we speak increase over your situation. We speak being out of debt. That's what you need to do is get out of debt. God will help you. God helped us get out of debt. And we are so glad. We're much more prosperous today because we got out of debt some years ago. This year, we're celebrating 50 years of ministry. Glory to God. Mm-hmm. We appreciate you standing along with us, alongside. We have wonderful partners all over the world, and we appreciate you, partners. And we believe for the promise of God,
amen,
an increase to be manifest in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Get in a good church that preaches the Word. Every Sunday, be there. Grow up and become full of faith. Hallelujah. We'll see you again next week. This is Gloria and Billy reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. Expect the fabulous outpourings from heaven this year. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.
To me is about never being alone, that you always have people around you, that you're doing the same thing, going in the right direction together, and you're always developing and going to a higher level with people. And so it never feels like you have to do it on your own, but you're doing it as a team.
Community is letting your guard down and just being you.
Community is partnership.
Community is all about ministry.
A place to find friends.
A place to build relationships.
Doing life together.
It's a place to get together with family.
Community is unity and trust.
Community is a group of people you can rely on.